And you're listening to 91.5 FM in Clately Tinay, 860 AM in Tsimshian territory. And until this year, Clately Tinay Memorial Park was called Fort George Park. It was changed to recognize the traditional territory of the Clately people in Prince George and as part of the 100th anniversary of the city. It's something that Janet Rogers would like to see more of, not just in BC, but across the country. She is UNBC's current writer-in-resident, and tonight she's giving a talk on the importance of reinstating the Indigenous place names of Canada, and she joins me in studio this morning. Janet, good morning.
I'm very well. Thanks for having me, Russell.
Thanks for coming in. What is it that's important about reinstating Indigenous place names?
Importance of, is, of course, you know, a matter of opinion, I guess.
It's subjective, yeah.
It's subjective. There is value in knowing, at least knowing, the history pre-contact, post-contact of a certain territory where one resides. When you have knowledge of the original place names, it kind of creates an opportunity for one to have a deeper, more meaningful relationship with those territories.
So, in the idea that names are important, is knowledge enough? At what point does it need a formal renaming?
Okay. To respond to that, I'm going to reference a time when Stephen Point was our lieutenant governor of the province, and he initiated a name change, if you will, for the Wandafuca Strait to the Salish Seas. And there was a ceremony, there was pomp and circumstance around that event. And when I was asked, okay, well, what do you think of that place name, the new place name? I said, well, I think it's a wonderful tokenistic gesture because we can do these things. We can reinstate original place names. We can reference names, territories by their original place names, and so on and so forth. Does that actually have any bearing on change, social change, for Indigenous people or and for non-Indigenous people? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what value does the name, the event, have on real social change?
So as you're probably all too aware, Fort George Park gets renamed Clately Tinay Memorial Park.
Yeah.
Does that mean the Clately Tinay have their history back?
I'm going to let the original people of this territory speak to that. Mm-hmm. I am a visitor, like, you know, as you know, I'm from the Mohawk Territory of Six Nations. I can speak to, however, the event that we initiated in Victoria, traditional Coast Salish territory, Lekwungen territory, as a matter of fact, the event that we hosted in May of 2013, and that was the reinstatement of the original place name of Pecols Mountain, which people more commonly know it as Mount Douglas. So that event actually wasn't about replacing a name. It wasn't about kicking one name out. It was reinstating the original place name, and I really want to make that clear. Where the idea and initiation for the park's name to be changed, I don't know exactly where that came from. But as you know, none of this would happen without the governance that's in place, too. So it's not about Indigenous people wanting that. I mean, clearly, non-Native people wanted that as well. And as such, that's how that came to be.
What's your response to the criticism that you sometimes hear about these reinstatements? Some people feel, well, you're erasing history.
Yeah.
It's an ironic thought because the original history was erased to bring in the new name.
Exactly. But. Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. It's all about perspective. It's like, well, whose history are you erasing? And what do you know of that history that's being erased? I know a lot of people who came through Ellis Island in what is now called New York City as immigrants. Mm-hmm. Their names were anglicized to make it easier, more palatable for the people who were processing them to come into North America, what we now know as North America. So that's a name change that is completely significant. You know, if we're talking about name changes, not about territories, but for personal people. When that happens, how difficult is it for people to trace their own personal history if their names have actually been changed? How far back can you actually go? So there's a disconnect that really creates disruption in one's history.
Is it a matter of going back to the places that have had their names changed and making the effort to reinstate where possible? And at what point will more modern references be allowed to continue and exist? Or where should they continue to exist?
Well, I think that's going to shift with the philosophies, the values of the people, of the next generations of people coming up, you know? And there's going to be, you know, people that vote on name changes and people that don't vote on name changes, you know what I mean? So again, that's good. I think any change that takes place is reflective of, again, the philosophy and the values of the people who live in those territories.
How much of this is about government? How much of this is about governance?
A lot of it is, I would say, because if you have people in governance, governing territories, they're going to reflect the values of the people as well, one would hope and think. So, you know, for example, in Maori territory, in Otorora, in New Zealand, there are a lot of Maori people who are in government who can support and who value language, indigenous language there. And I've visited that those territories twice, and each time I'm astounded that all the Maori children in elementary school know their language and they know their songs. And that's because you have people in Maori people in government there.
From your experience, if you could speak to this, because one of the things that came up around the time that we were doing the name change for Clayton-Tenay Memorial Park was whether or not the whole city should be renamed, because obviously this was once known as Clayton-Tenay. But we've seen name changes or name reinstatements, so to speak, with Queen Charlotte Islands being moved back to Haida Gwaii. Is that less about, again, an issue of who's governing the place versus what are we representing? What are we saying about ourselves by the name we choose for our place?
I love the name Clayton-Tenay because it means, it references the rivers,
Yeah.
The place where the two rivers meet.
Yes,
so the
correct.
Fraser and the Nechako River. When I think of that, it's, I mean, as a poet, as a writer, I'm drawn to the poetry of that name and the fact that it references something bigger than ourselves. It references these rivers that have lived here longer than any of us have, really. And so I kind of, I'm just more, I vibrate better with that place name than Prince George. I had to look up who this guy was. He's an actual guy. And, you know, so, and I know that a lot of people who maybe come here or even have been born here, you know, several generations in from contact, they too have to research who this person is. And, you know, I do want to say happy birthday, Prince George. Happy birthday to the city because it's the centennial this year. And, I know in 2012, when I first started my term as the Poet Laureate of Victoria, they were celebrating 150 years of being incorporated as a city. And one of the first orders of business that I was asked to do was write a poem, the official 150 Victoria poem. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I almost imploded from the responsibility of that. But I sat down and I thought, how can I do this in good conscience as an Indigenous writer? To celebrate, you know, the incorporation of this colonial town. So actually I wrote a poem that's called Lekwungen Land, and I'll be reading that at the event.
Janet Rogers, thank you for joining us on Daybreak. I really appreciate you coming in and taking some time with us.
Thank you. In Mohawk, we say nyawa. Nyawa goa. Thank you so much.
Janet Rogers, writer in residence at UNBC, and she'll be giving her talk tonight at 7 at UNBC.